Hey, welcome to this episode of the Locked on Cavs podcast. I'm Chris Manning with my co-host, Evan Demerle, special guest, Marissa McNeese. We're talking about Evan Mobley today in a mailbag episode. Let's get into it.
You are Locked on Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast.
Music on the way you heard on the way in, at least in audio form, is from our friends at Astro Radio. Check them out on Apple Music or Spotify. We want to thank you for making Locked on Cavs your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Evan, why don't you introduce what we're doing today?
So as we are going through the doldrums of the offseason, we are doing player reviews each week, or just looking deeper on the player, like what they accomplished, what they maybe need to improve on, and also just take your questions, because Chris and I are two chuckle nuts who don't
have a full perspective. For the record, of things. Am maybe not a chuckle point nut. You are us, two chuckle nuts.
Joining us on this one.
I think that's right.
Two chuckle nuts in a shell. But if you heard her voice already, if you're on audio form, but joining us today is our guest, Marissa McNeese. She is a devout Detroit Pistons fan. We had to censor her before the show started by saying that she cannot say Cade Cunningham is Rob next question, so we really need to hear her go in depth. But she's part of the Row 5 squad, where we sit in the press box. If Mac Robinson was here, it'd be a quartet. But he's currently seeing Dr. Strange
before everybody else. I would be better if but you Marissa, all would have let me don my full Pistons regalia, but like, it's fine. I'll live. That's fine.
You can rock it if you want.
Little costume change.
Like Chris and I can stall a lot.
You're just like, Evan just likes creating more work for me. He likes to cough. He likes to make jokes. He likes to just create shenanigans. He likes to punch his he likes to punch his microphone.
Hey, yeah. I will mute myself on Restream. I like to punch my mic, but I will mute myself on the platform we use to record the video form of the show. Whenever I cough or something, and then I'll quietly say, sorry, Chris, and then I'll unmute myself. I at least apologize every time I do it. I'm sorry I have acid reflux. I just want to get my throat scoped.
I am like always committed to a bit, but for the sake of time and to stay on task here, I won't go for a full costume change.
No, thank you. You're being very conscious about the time. So let's talk about Evan Mobley. We're going to take a bunch of questions about this, about him rather, in this episode. We're going to do one of these for Jared Allen next week. So if you have Jared Allen questions, drop them below on YouTube at LockdownCavs on Twitter or LockdownCavs@gmail.com. The way I've structured these questions, I know Evan didn't prep, but that's fine. What we're going to do is we're gonna hit some of the things we've hit a lot this week. I think we've hit a lot this week on progression of Mobley, on some of the things we saw from in year one that maybe are a little confusing, his potential as well. So the first question hits on this. It's from Seth _Hoops on Twitter, who asked two most important traits for him to develop this offseason. So Evan, when I say two most important traits for Evan Mobley to develop this offseason, what would you define those as?
Well, I think the general consensus amongst all of us is just strength, or maybe weight in general. I think that's just a given at this point, just because he is slight of frame at 215 is what he's listed at, but he could be less than that, he could be more than that, who knows. My weight fluctuates, I'm sure Evan Mobley's does too, just depending on what he eats that day. But other than that, I think maybe confidence, or just be more vocal. I think that's the thing. Like, a lot of like JV Bickerstaff stressed this, Kevin Love stressed this, Darius Garland stressed this. Like, a lot of people like point out, like, hey, he is the backline of this team's defense. If they are a defensive first team, they need their more or less defensive leader, their linebacker in this situation, to be more vocal and kind of tell everyone else what he's seeing, maybe certain reads, cuts, situations, just ways to exploit their opponent's offense when the opponents are on offense, to make things a little easier for them, so not expending so much energy. Just
for those of you who saw me gasp, that is because Evan stole
Chris
my answer. It's fine, but the shocked look you saw on my face was because
it's somewhat similar, but also not, because you said confidence. But Marissa, what do you mean by confidence? Do you need him to be like an ugly duckling becoming the beautiful swan situation?
No, I mean, yeah, I guess.
Embrace himself? What's up?
Sort of. I mean, to your point, like, I just think with that strength and weight and whatever comes that confidence. I just think some of those plays I think we saw him make during the season, some of those passes that were just maybe a little off the mark, just a lot of those I think come with like building that strength and just that confidence. It seems stupid to say, but like he is just a rookie. And so that with that experience, I think comes that confidence too. But like you said, that like being vocal, I think everybody has said, even like within the team, they want to see him be more vocal. And so I just think building that confidence and just maybe that just comes with experience. I don't know, but certainly strength. I think we all agree. That's the main thing this off season.
Yeah.
So I think he's lacking confidence compared to Cade.
Okay.
Just Evan, stop stirring pot. You don't need to stir the pot at all times. Okay? You can do your weird little motions and stirring things. You're having a great day. Just take
it. I'm on cloud nine. I don't care right now.
Right.
Yeah.
We can talk about anything. I don't give a spit.
Okay. So I think these are
you
the answers.
You put my cat at the mic and you'll just sniff it curiously for 30 minutes and you two can have a conversation.
Moving on. So I think it is strength. I think it is confidence. I think those are fair. I think offensive touch is part of this. We'll get to more of that later. So I want to put a pin
that's
in that
a big
for
one
now.
Too.
I think just offensive effectiveness is really like the area. And we'll get, again, I think we'll get to that later. So the follow-up question of this that I think is sort of interesting is kind of a two things I'm going to note here. Number one, from Kauf Brian on Twitter, which skill set do you think Mobley is most likely to improve on next season? And that pairs with a question from Hoove underscore himself on the Discord who asked, does Mobley have any potential to develop into a drive-to-the-rim primary initiator a la Giannis? So I think the offensive ability is the answer. I think that is very clearly the area of his game when you look at what is likely to be a big leap for Mobley in year two. He's already really, really good on defense. The offense is like has at times shown some really high-end potential. It's also kind of lacking at times. This feels like the area that if we're going to see a massive leap that we can just tell it is happening in front of our eyes in real time, that's going to be the thing. The Giannis part of this, I think, is really interesting because he'll come up again later when we talk about three-point shooting with Evan Mobley, which will be, I think, one of the big fantasies of what Mobley could be on this end of the floor. But look, think about how Giannis plays. He's not a guy that's going to run a ton of pick and roll. He's going to beat guys by pushing in transition, using his motor, using his gas tank to get up the floor, create easy bucket, to use his strength. He's able to navigate the walls that teams have formed against him when they've tried to defend him and keep him from getting to the rim. That's the template, and if that's a situation where Mobley can pair the passing chops we've seen from him in small bits and feed out to shooters and feed out to cutters, that to me is how he improves.
I agree with that. I think that's a really good question. Just I think the Giannis comparison is like the absolute apex. I wonder if
we should just say this very clearly. If Evan Mobley ends up being at all resembling Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is the best player in the league right now, that is an absolute 10 out of 10 home
that's
run.
What
that
I'm
is a
saying. Like,
that
yeah,
is a hundredth
that's
per,
a, that's
that.
Like,
but that's like the gold standard, and it says a lot that like this is the thing where Cavs fans get very excited by this. It's a little like crazy to put that on him in a lot of ways, and he's Evan Mobley.
Yeah,
but like
I agree
the
with that.
Fact that that's where people's brains go is very telling about what kind of rookie he was.
And I think it's also very telling of it doesn't feel unrealistic for Mobley to follow maybe that set path or that template into refining his offensive game. But I think just for now, heading into next season. To touch on Marissa's point a little bit, maybe confidence of the passes, the playmaking, maybe this is more so on the coaching staff of using him as like that offensive fulcrum where eventually he becomes more comfortable. And that leads into Hoove himself's question where he can act as the offensive initiator where maybe in pick and roll. So like we talked about this on offensive improvements, Chris, where he like earlier this week. So in like certain scenarios, just using the bevy of big men the Cavs have that Mobley X is the primary initiator in a pick and roll scenario, and he drives to the basket using that. And because he is a little bigger, a little stronger, a lot more confident, either he's going to draw a foul, get to the line, or somebody's going to get absolutely wrecked and their day's going to be ruined. So I think those are avenues we can explore, but I think the playmaking is like where we can really start to get that. And I think like to Marissa's point, if he's more confident in his playmaking chops and if he's more comfortable moving the rock, I think that just unlocks so many more things for him long term.
Yeah, I like to your point, Evan, I agree. I just think like we've obviously seen the skill, and if the comp is Giannis, then okay. But then, you know, it's just like you said, building that confidence, building that strength. Like I just think that's where that all starts. And I don't know. I think to your point too, Chris, like the fact that that's the comparison, I just think is, it is telling about his ability and his skill and like what's to come in the future.
Yeah. He is such a fascinating guy. And again, we're still seeing him like figure this out. And again, like there's probably some defensive stuff about this. I think certainly like there will be some defensive improvement. We'll see how he looks. I think perhaps as he has more size and see how that changes him. It'll be interesting to see how the Cavs deploy him as well. I mean, does he remain, does he get more centralized in the scheme even when Jared Allen's on the floor? Like how does that kind of give and take go as we go forward here? That will be interesting to watch. It just feels like the offense is the thing where it's like, even if the defense like sort of sustains and he just sort of gets smarter as he goes on and figures out his body more and all, and that helps him improve. The offense, if it just hits another level, is the thing that takes him from like, you know, guy that could be like an all-star candidate to like an all-NBA guy. That's the leap that could happen here. All right, after the break, we're going to take some more questions. The first is going to be about, we're actually just going to do a whole thing about screen setting, which is more of an excuse to talk about Evan Mobley being a large, needing to maybe perhaps be a large human being. So we'll get to that.
A hot button issue with some fans, I will say. Like, look, I noticed that question coming up in quite frequency, and like I have questions about it too.
It's an interesting
topic to dive into.
I talked to like five different people about it on Wednesday. I was like, I'm going to do my research. I'm going to talk to some smart people about this, and we're going to get there. But
educate me, Chris.
After the break, we're going to talk about that. But first, going to tell everyone about our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all of the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to the playoffs to esports and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. For instance, the Miami Heat have jumped up to -735 favorites against the Philadelphia 76ers, who are at +535 in that series.
Feels a little low, just with DeAndre Jordan.
Oh, brother. In the other series, it's a little closer with the Bucks at +105 and the Celtics favored at -125. And look, you go to the NBA draft, Jabari Smith is still the favorite to go first at -105. Chet Holmgren is +190 and Paolo Banchero is +300. You can bet on Lakers head coach Darvin Ham is currently the betting favorite, along with guys like Terry Stotts. And
LeBron's an option.
That's just burning money. That is just lights. If you want to light some money on fire, you could do that. But check out all the odds. They have everything you could possibly want to bet on, and that's BetOnline. That's where the game starts. All right, back here on Locked On Cavs. I want to thank you for making Locked On Cavs your first listen every day. Now, go check out the Locked On NBA Big Board. Host Rafael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock draft, player rankings, and of course, big boards. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, so we got a question here from SMR Puccini's. That's a Twitter user. That's a weird name, guy, but respect for the question.
Sounds like a type of pasta. I'll go with it.
His question or their question is, what do you think is the problem with him Mobley setting screens? Has he been taught to just slip every time, or is he scared of the contact, or is it something else that I'm just not getting? I want you guys to we'll start with Evan, to just go through this first. I want you guys to pitch me what you think about this, and then I'll come back with some of the takes I received from other folks.
I wonder if part of it is just a strength and conditioning thing. I'm not looking at the notes right now, so I'm not going to steal your thunder here, Chris. But I wonder if part of it is a strength and conditioning thing, or maybe it's just he's moving still a little too fast. Like, I do think maybe the game's just a little too quick for him at this, like, just early into the season, and then the comfort level and things like that, just, like, working through the motions on that. But I think it's just mostly like a strength thing, and maybe he's just trying to slip screens a little faster and maybe get the play going, because the Cavs are a team that tries to play faster at times or plays with pace at times. So maybe it's a little bit of that, but I don't know. I'm interested to see what you have to say. But Marissa, what do you think?
This is like not a cop-out, but I'm kind of with Evan on this. I just think, like, I don't know, it's just that rookie aspect. I mean, we forget he's still a rookie. This, like you said, the game is just so sped up. It's moving so fast, and he thinks so fast. I mean, there's like been so much talk about his intellect and like his basketball IQ, and like you said, Evan, I don't know, maybe it's just like it's all kind of moving fast, and it's hard to in the moment I don't know, hate to cop out here, but I'm like kind of with
It's not like a cop out at all.
It's like just, I'm going to keep going back to this because I feel so strongly about it. But like, I just do think it's like a strength and confidence thing and like the game and just a lack of actual NBA experience. I mean, he was injured for part of the season. So I'm with you, Evan, but I'm curious to hear what Chris and his band of experts have to say about it.
So when I thought about this, my thought was it's probably one of two things. It is probably either the screening style that he is doing, because this isn't the one thing I think that is important for this is that this isn't a new thing for him necessarily. If you go back and look at his USC tape, he was doing this at USC. He was probably doing this in AAU if he was doing this at USC. I went back and read Ricky O'Donnell's draft profile at SB Nation to kind of just see if this was a thing that came up, because this is the kind of thing like Ricky will like dive into. It's what he does. And it was very clearly, like, you watch the clips, and it's like Evan Mobley is not, like, putting 2 feet in the ground and using his hips and putting his full body into the screens. He is maybe sometimes putting his body in the way, but it is not, like, a forceful screen. Like, if you watch Jared Allen set a screen, that is, like, a screen that people feel. If you watch, like, Xavier Tillman set screens, if you watch Tristan Thompson at his very, very best, when he's setting screens, you feel that screen, right? Like, that is a skill. I mean, like, Jazz fans are on Twitter about like Rudy Gobert's screen assists. So it is what it is.
Don't get fired, Chris.
Nah, look, Donovan Mitchell needs to like learn how to defend the point of attack, and like it's a problem that the only NBA player that's ever worn a Locked On T-shirt is Donovan Mitchell, who couldn't defend the point of attack. I'm just saying that's disappointing to me personally. But the other part of this is that like, is it a physical thing? Because he is slender. This is a 7 foot guy who's 215 pounds. Like, is it some of that? So the consensus that I got when I asked people about this was basically that it's like it's a skill that takes time to develop, because sometimes young bigs want to jump the gun and they want to like get it. They just want to go, and they just want to go get into the lane and get the ball. And it's like there's a read that needs to be made and a processing that needs to happen with that. I also think the physicality has to the bump and grind of it does have to be part of it, right? Because if Evan Mobley had, I think it's easier to, when you, even someone like Draymond, when he puts his body into a screen, Draymond has that strength. Draymond is like a very strong player, and he's able to maximize that frame. Mobley doesn't have that yet, and I wonder if he ends up, let's say he adds 10 pounds this summer, and he shows up at like 230, 225, 230, somewhere in that range. Does he feel more comfortable with a better base, a better strength in his lower body to work with? Does that enable him to take more screens? And it'll be interesting to see. Like, it's actually probably the question that I feel like I wish I would have asked at some point that I didn't this year, and it's probably gonna be a media day question for me, and we're just gonna see what happens.
Well, the issue is that Mobley may not give you like a very.
Oh, I'm not asking. He's not going to. But will I ask JB Bickerstaff? Yes. Will I ask Kevin Love? Will I ask Darius Garland? Yes. I will ask everyone that I can that maybe have
Kevin
a take.
Kevin Love's the best one to ask. Maybe
words right out of my mouth.
I'd want to hear from JB
from a coaching aspect, but like Kevin would give you such a good soundbite on it too. Like, he'd give like a backhanded compliment.
Yeah, but I also want like what
kind of funny.
But I also want like Darius as like the point guard who's like orchestrating this. I want to see what he would say about this. Like, there's a lot of different viewpoints I would want on this, and then like, you know, maybe asking like away from the microphones and saying like, hey, can I pick your brain on this a little bit deeper? Like, there's a lot about this that is interesting, and I would be curious to see if the Cavs in year two, if one of the things they hammer with him is like, hey, just pause a second longer, put your body into a guy, and then we can go. And then like I think about like, let's say he's on units with Colin Sexton next year. That second waiting to set a screen to allow Sexton to get a clearer lane would be would be such a big deal. Because if he's setting a screen and actually sealing off someone, Sexton, if he's assuming his speed and everything holds up and he's on the roster and all that, that extra second gives him a little more room to get into lane. That gives him another second to go, and then Mobley can roll into that space that's created. Like, there is a skill to this that, as it goes, will be worth watching to see how it develops. And look, it could just be, again, some of this is just going to be defensive reading. It is going to be a guy that is 20 years old that, you know, his USC was weird just based on the system and everything. And then the NBA is a different transition. Like, you know, the lead up time to the season was weird just because, you know, you just get the training camp with your guys, and there's a lot to this basically will be a thing that I think I will be thinking about like next year. And let's see how it looks game one of the preseason. And Evan will be like, Chris, what are you doing to me right now? And I'll be like, Evan, let's talk about some screens. I love screens.
And I'll be answering like a very, I'll be answering an important text again This one won't be about a house, but Chris will scare the ever-living shit out of me by shaking me, like, I don't know, just shaking me hard.
Is it the 2022-2023 Chris sees a take foul in real time and gets annoyed? But he gets like the opposite of that.
No, it's so excited.
Actually, I'll still be annoyed about take foul. So it's just going to have
no,
more.
But take fouls are illegal.
You stay annoyed about take
fouls. Adam Silver is a regular listener of Locked On Cavs. He's like, listen, there's a grumpy little fella.
Not in little.
Insert city here, Ohio, that hates take fouls. And you know what, gang? We got to do something about it. Because his podcast host is sick of hearing him bitch and moan about it.
Yeah.
It's all love, fam.
Yeah, look, I will. This is just something that is. It's a very nerdy thing, but it does matter, and it's one of those things that it's like hard. I think it's hard to talk about to some degree because it's like one of the things in basketball that is still like, okay, like you have to view it, you have to process. You can't like, I can't go look at like, you can't look at like a number for screen assists.
Yeah.
Like screen assists are a stupid stat. I actually am. David Locke is absolutely going to come down and just nuke me where I sit because I'm
you're gonna make his Locke newsletter where he's just like, so Chris Manning hates screen assists and thinks Donovan Mitchell's a bad defender.
Donovan Mitchell, I don't think he is. I know he is in my book.
Hey Evan, do you want Chris's Locked On hat? I'm like, yes and please.
You actually have more Locked On hats than me somehow, but you know, alas.
I have a beanie. I have three of them.
Yeah, so I have two. You have three.
Okay. Folks, I want to bring this back, but I wanted not like leave this segment without saying, Chris, like I really think your comment about like when you talk about Draymond like maximizing a frame, like I just thought that was the perfect way to put it. Like that's what we're missing. Like I really like that stuck with me. I think that was just like the most succinct way of putting it. Like just how can he maximize his frame?
So like, during the break, Marissa's going to fire up the trade machine and figure out a way to get Draymond Green to Cleveland.
Look, Dan Gilbert.
Listen, Green, baby.
Can you imagine
the Draymond Green would be so good for like the vibes on this team. I think he would push the ever-living hell out of like Jared Allen and Evan Mobley defensively. Some Cavs fans would be a little pissed, but I think they'd get over it because I think he's a player you love to hate or you love to have him on your team.
Evan, we have joked about this privately, but do you remember when JB Bickerstaff like cited the Michigan State grit of Denzel Valentine? Can you imagine the promo he would cut if they acquired Draymond Green, who's like accomplished a lot in the NBA and like might pound for pound be the best defender in the league right now?
Listen, Draymond Green as an alumnus of the Michigan State Spartans, brought to you by Rocket Mortgage.
I know most of that fight song, by the way. I could potentially, with some practice, like perform it all for you. But.
All right, that's going to be our
Marissa
new pod intro.
Marissa would get the feature with Draymond because of the Michigan State connection.
Yep.
And, like, I don't know, man. To be a fly on the wall of that conversation, those locker rooms, because Draymond's just such the real – like, I don't know. I hated him when I was more of a fan of this team. I'm still, like, I enjoy this team's individual success and, like, their overall success, but, like, becoming jaded, as Chris pointed out to me many moons ago. But Draymond would rule on this team, like, full stop. Like, people can come at me. I don't care. I don't check my mentions anymore. But Draymond Green would be fun on this team. He wouldn't make a lot of sense, but he'd be fun on this team.
Yes. All right. After the break, we're going to get into some more Evan Mobley questions, specifically about his three-point shooting and what kind of small forward would be the right fit next to Evan Mobley. But first, but Evan,
saying he was a small forward. I'm like, boo.
I mean, he's positionless. But Evan, you can tell everyone about our first set of friends at Rock Auto.
You're absolutely correct. This episode of Locked On Cavs is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questions and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? They're also a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and Rock Auto's prices are reliable for everyone and every single customer. They have everything you need from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. So, if you're interested, go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On, and there, how did you hear about us box? And know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliable low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Check them out today at rockauto.com.
All right, back here on the Locked On Cavs podcast. I'm Chris. That's Evan. Mr. Marcus is with us. All right, Chris does Cavs. Again, this is Dylan. I don't. But this gentleman has Dylan Windler with the whatever that chain was called. I've already forgotten and blacked that from my mind, if I'm being honest. But that's in his bio or his Twitter picture, which is very funny to me. Okay. Let's start with three-point shooting. So does Mobley's rough shooting at the line worry you in terms of his ability to develop an outside jumper? And have you seen anything that gives you legitimate faith in its development or not? Marissa, take this first.
I don't know. I don't know how to answer this. I'm going to pitch it back to Evan. Evan, you all take right. this first. Because, like, I don't know. So... Hold on. Before... Just kidding. I'm going to. I keep, like, my go-to answers for all these Evan Mobley questions are just gonna be like, he needs strength and he needs confidence, and I feel that way about most aspects of his game. So that is my quick segue into giving it back to Evan, who can okay. more accurately just answer this question for us.
So former draft expert and friend of the pod, Trevor Magnotti, does a lot of, he's a doctor and he works like in sports medicine.
Actually,
like an actual doctor. He's an actual doctor.
I think he's a – I don't know if he's, like, actually a doctor, but, like, when I
he
met him –
he went to the University of Michigan, I'm pretty sure now, but
– I met him when he was in graduate school at the Ohio University for doing athletic training.
Maction.
But either way, he has pointed out – like, in terms of his, like, pre-draft analysis, he studies a lot of, like, how the kinematics of the body works, how they function, just certain key tells of, like, okay, maybe this will be an issue for them at the next level, where, like, Obi Toppin was, like, his big thing, where, like, yeah, Obi doesn't use his hips very well on defense. He's very slow laterally, because if you look at his, like, lateral quickness and, like, how he uses his hips, he's going to struggle the next level defensively, and Obi struggled at Dayton, and he has struggled at times for the Knicks, despite Tom Thibodeau's best wishes, but... He also pointed out to me that if a player usually struggles at the free throw line in college, and if they struggle at the next level, that usually doesn't trend towards them being like a plus shooter from the perimeter. Like, yeah, Chris and I talked about this a little bit, where you can add a little bit of like a post-up fader at times if you're Evan Mobley, or maybe sometimes like he becomes a bit of a three-point shooter. But if like we're sticking like the area of like the Giannis comps, you don't really want him to be over-reliant on a three-pointer or become infatuated. Or like even prime Miami LeBron, if you want to use that example too, where LeBron kind of cut threes out of his diet entirely and just maximized his potential by attacking the basket as often as possible and just getting to the line as much as possible. I think if you're Evan Mobley and you make that your primary focus, where like maybe your three isn't completely gone, where like if you're sitting at the perimeter in a fast break scenario, or if you just happen to be at the top of the key and someone kicks it out to you, like you're not a complete liability out there, that's a good thing. But just with how he is at the free throw, like I did this a little bit when Chris was asking the question, it gives me pause to say like he may not be like a plus 3-point shooter at this level, and that's okay, because I think there's other ways to chart his offensive success, and we've kind of talked about this a lot, but that's just kind of where I'm at. And again, shouts to Trevor. Congrats on the baby. He's adorable. But you smartly pointed this out to me, and it is really true. Like when you're analyzing college prospects or like rookies, if they're not a good free throw shooter, it doesn't trend positively towards them being a plus shooter. Like Colin Sexton was a phenomenal free throw shooter in college and a phenomenal free throw shooter as a rookie. And he bucked the trend, obviously, post All-Star by becoming a plus 3-point shooter. That's where it just makes a little more sense for me. That's when it clicked for me at first, and then I've just noticed it since then.
Yeah, so...
Chris got her hand up, Chris. Yeah, it's like a Zoom call.
No, go ahead.
Well, just to go off of that, I'm curious from both of you. Like, Evan, you sort of mentioned it, but, like, I don't know how to word this question, but, like, does it matter? I mean, like, is that what the Cavs need from him or want from him? You obviously need, well, like, you, like, need that, of course. But, like, at the end of the day, when we're looking at his ability, like, is it a serious concern?
This is where I think it matters. I think it gives you more flexibility in how you can build out the roster. Because if Evan Mobley checks off the box of spacing, of, like, actual legitimate stretching the floor, that gives you more room to find different kinds of wings, wings that are maybe not the plus offensively you want, and you know it doesn't, and it gives you, I think, some flexibility in the personnel you can look for. You're never gonna have, obviously, like, none of these things are perfect puzzle pieces. They are never gonna come together in this perfect way, but like look, maybe his 3-point bump at the end of the year is real, but like if Isaac Okoro ends up just settling in as like a 33% 3-point shooter who's a strong point of attack guy, and you feel like that matters to your team, if Evan Mobley can shoot 35-36% from three, that just stretches things out a little bit more. It makes his fit with Jared Allen as an offensive thing, if you can't find other shooters, a little bit easier to massage as well. It is just this thing that, like, I think allows you more roster flexibility. The other thing is, like, I think that the key is, like, that it also just, like, you want, I think if it can be a thing that he goes to from time to time, and it's not, it's more of, like, hey, he's not shooting them at a high clip. Maybe it ends up being, like, 32%. But, like, it is enough of a thing that teams think about as a pull-up option in particular that, like, it opens up some driving lanes and stuff like that. That, I think, will matter, too, because it will give him just a little bit more room. Like, it's not – it wouldn't be like a Ben Simmons thing where you have to then hide him in the dunker spot. You want to have it be more like like we said his name a lot, but, like, Giannis makes do with not being a great three-point shooter because he kind of – he'll take some of the pull-ups. And then he uses that to kind of at least give himself a little bit more room and then attack and go and make plays out of that situation. So I think it matters. It's not going to keep him from being, like, a really good player, but it's a thing that will, like, A, raise his ceiling and also, I think, help the Cavs in a roster construction practicality.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I agree with Chris. 95%, I just don't think it's completely detrimental to his game because it depends on how the Cavs flesh out the rest of this roster either because you have Darius Garland, who's a plus shooter. You have Kevin Love, who is historically a plus shooter. Lauri Markkanen can be hit or miss sometimes,
I think the problem is right now that the roster isn't loaded with other plus shooters.
That's what I'm getting at is like in terms of roster construction, you mitigate Evan Mobley needing to be like a legitimate 3-point threat if you add more wings that can shoot, if you can add more players who can shoot, because that just creates more opportunities and lanes for him to slash and attack the basket. Mm-hmm. Because let's be frank, he'd be the perfect player if he was like a legitimate 3-point threat, where like he had a pump fake like Kevin Love's got somebody to bite on it that can just absolutely attack the board like that. Like, you can't stop him then on offense, and we live in an imperfect world, unfortunately, but to Chris's point, I think if he can add it to his repertoire and maybe make it a little bit more, not of a staple of his game, but like at least where you have to respect him as a 3-point threat, it becomes a little more palatable for Cleveland. Like Chris said, it also makes the roster construction a little different, where I'm kind of in the camp where if he bulks up a little bit, maybe the Cavs don't need to seriously pursue like a true backup center to back up Jared Allen. Like they can just kind of deploy Mobley and maybe put four smalls next to him and have Mobley just be the offensive hub/big man in the lineup.
That is to me absolutely the way. Regardless, I think it was notable as before we go to the last question is that the one clip, again, we talked about this the other day, but the one clip we've seen of him so far of training, the first thing that his trainer was like, hey, this is the thing we're working on, was the pick and basically like a pick and pop three as a spacer off of strong side pick and roll. It was like, hey, you're going to get a shot as the weak side spacer off of a pick and roll. What did the Cavs run as a strong side pick and roll to a lot of success? Darius Garland and Jared Allen. It was just like very notable to me that this was like the thing that him and his team were like, and probably some input from the Cavs were like, yes, we're going to go do this. Okay, last question comes from Kitten Paw on the Lockdown Cavs Discord, which I assume is just Finnegan's burner. Who is the ideal three next to
Bro, Mobley? Finnegan like types in wingdings and like Comic Sans at times, like
weird fellow over there. But so who is the ideal starting small forward type next to Evan Mobley? Is it like, I mean, you could, does Lauri Markkanen set a prototype? Is there a Durant
next question?
Okay, if let's say realistically, if you're gonna find like LeBron a role James, player type
next question.
Okay, role player type threes, Evan.
Okay.
I wrote the name in there.
Heart of Hearts, like a Doug McDermott type.
So you would say the thing you would want is like the most like a guy that is like competent on defense but stretches the floor with shooting to an extreme degree. That's what you would say you'd want.
Yeah,
because of him and Allen as well. Does that play a part? I just want to know. Does that play a part in how you think about this?
Yes, I do think that, because I think you see it a little bit with Lauri Markkanen. Like, yes, we give a lot of credit to Jared Allen and Evan Mobley making Lauri Markkanen as a three work, but I think also Lauri Markkanen as a 3-point threat clutters the paint a little bit less. Like, Chris, I saw the name you mentioned, but, like, I floated EJ Liddell the other day as being, like, an option to the Cavs, or, like, hell-bent and determined to stick with this big lineup next year. But I think if you could just absolutely stretch out, like, and it's just a role player, a guy who's, like, a plus-plus three-point shooter who possesses a little bit of size, is respectable enough on defense, maybe gives you a little bit of tertiary playmaking, obviously, like, a player every team wants, but that's ideally what you want. And, like, Doug McDermott's just a name that comes to mind because, like, he can float on the perimeter and just kind of act as, like, that safety valve. Like, if the defense is collapsed on Mobley, who has the vision at least to kick it back out to the perimeter, or Jared Allen, who does at times as well, or Darius Garland especially, like, when defense, or Colin Sexton too, like, defense is collapsed, you have a guy who's just floating down the perimeter who is an actual three who makes just a lot more sense.
Marissa, what do you think?
I thought everyone froze for a second there.
Me too. I got scared. No, I, gosh, far be it for me to agree with Evan, but I'm going to. I just think, like, if like, names aside, or, like, forgetting specific players, like, just like we said, stretching the floor, I just think is key. And so, like, again, I hate to agree with everything Evan said, but I tend to fall in that camp of, like, just, like, somebody who can really stretch the floor is ideal in this case.
Chris, what's your
so McDermott McDermott is a good one. I think if you're worried about the offense just, like, functioning, I think that is, like, a clear way to go, especially if you believe very strongly that, like, especially if you believe very, very strongly, and I think there's obviously reason to believe this based on what we saw last year, that Mobley plus Allen leads to, like, very high-end defense, and, like, you can support a lot of different looks with that. If you believe that as that duo grows, I think that's a real thing you could bank on. The one that because I am me, and I have developed types of guys that I really like, it
a
is
brand,
like...
A brand, if you will.
Like, it is what I dubbed, like, Lu Dort, like, the anti-Dan Waiters. This is, like, just another, like, bit of that. Grant Williams is, like, the type that I've looked at, because it's like I think especially if you're trying to find a guy that can help you swing different lineups, swing different looks in the playoffs, it is that kind of guy that can be a 3-4 combo. He can play as a 3 and then slide up to the 4 if Mobley's going to play the 5. This is someone who can attack in space a little bit more, have some juice, attack closeouts, space the corner, do all that stuff, but and really offer you line of versatility, because part of the beauty of Mobley is that he is this, like, you can do so much with him that I think you want to find guys that can help, that can let your play style sort of bend as he bends, right? Like, you want to get guys that can go that way. The problem is, like, A, these guys are really hard to find. Yeah. Two, like, the guys you would want that could be this kind of guy, it's like Grant Williams is one. And I think his frame is kind of also the kind of time I'd want a guy that, there's a couple of draft prospects this year that have this, like, sort of shorter, but they're, like, huge frame. And, like, I'd be looking at those guys. You know, Mikal Bridges is this kind of guy to, like, a very extreme degree. Kyle Kuzma is, like, honestly this kind of player that would, like, a more shot heavy guy, but, like, sort of that same kind of player. And we've seen him play that kind of championship level role with the Lakers. Like, those are the kind of guys I'm looking for. And I think like, if you're looking at this draft and thinking about this guy, like, this is why, like, EJ Liddell would make some sense. There's other guys as well, but, like, if you want to, like, try to develop this guy, and then maybe next year you find, like, a veteran option and try to play this way, like, Jeff Green is a name, Jamichael Green as well from Denver could be that sort of guy as well in a different way. Those are the kind of things that I think I'm looking at. I think, like, if you settled on the shooting as just, like, a need, I think I get that. I think that's, like, pretty defensible. I think I'd try to find the versatility.
Well, Cody
first.
Altman made it, like, a pretty clear need for this team too, is shooting, yeah, length and athleticism. Like, obviously the first two is kind of given with most young teams like this, but I think the Cavs being just a below average shooting team really makes it, like, crystal clear. Like, hey, this is going to be their focus heading into the draft. I really like the idea of EJ Liddell. I just don't know if he functions properly in this Cavs team, if maybe, like, you're asking too much of him, because, like, Grant Williams isn't asked too much early on in Boston, and he was able to kind of grow into his role and get comfortable with it too, which helped him a lot with
this
growth
and
development.
And look, this is why development is king. This is why, like,
that's why Steve Ballmer is using his Microsoft Bucks to just spend more money than God on player development.
Well, look at the Grizzlies. Just, like, hey, like, we need Zaire Williams this series, like, and, like, we've need needed D'Anthony Melton.
I'm sorry, like, the Grizzlies break Gary Payton's bones. So
okay, look at the Warriors. Like Gary Payton Jr. didn't play. Like or Gary Payton the second didn't play. Warriors
player development is actually really good because James Wiseman success.
Look at James Wiseman has played no basketball that matters.
He has been competent.
He is a non-fungible token. He's a non-fungible token.
Equal success for Evan.
It does, especially in today's the Cavs were incompetent before this season, so I think that's just how low my barometer is for success.
That's just going to say that's a low bar.
You're just like, Christian Ianga actually was an all-star, and people just didn't understand. Ianga
before he froze his foot, but good to go.
No, that was Manny Harris, by the way, to bring this back to a place of Michigan.
But, like, Jonathan Kuminga, I beat this drum for a while. Like, he was so raw and unrefined as a prospect. Like, going to Golden State and having to maybe play with Santa Cruz was, like, the best situation for him. But, like, the Cavs have an okay-ish player development staff. I just maybe invest more in it.
Throw lots of money at it. Like
the Charge are doing their best.
Just
throw trying, a lot. You know?
Just continue. Like, they are. Those people are very nice. There's a reason. It was notable, again, that Danger O'Coach's team. Throw lots of money at it. And give them every it gives you an advantage. You're not going to be able to like calculate it in a certain way and like this helped us X percent, but like it will help your team if you continue to develop this stuff. Because like let's say they make two draft picks this year in this draft, maybe like the second round pick is someone that they need to develop, and like maybe the other pick is someone they're going to try to plug in right away. But like you might need to develop that guy in the beginning of the season, and then like maybe some G League time gets him kind of acclimated. It will be fascinating to see how they approach this. I it'll be interesting to see just how they. I think kind of off of the three notes that we were up here, but like what they look for in as a two guard next to Garland is sort of like the other kind of part of this question. Mm-hmm. It's like how do they want to support him long term as a backcourt mate, and what kind of guys they want to pair with him, and how they look to do I that. Think but
that's tough to gauge as well because Sexton is out, and that's like one of your plus shooters in theory at least. And then like Isaac Okoro just not really taking that 3-point leap yet. Also, just kind of. Raises some questions about the overall starting two spot.
Well, and I think you look at the roster as it is now, and there's a lot of guys that I like. Like, I like Okoro. Like, I like Stevens. I like really Sexton. Like Okoro. A little colder than I was, but, you know.
Well, you guys fighting?
Fighting okay? I actually just committed. I said something nice about Nick Saban and, you know, War Eagle. Whoa. So, I think the thing about the Cavs roster that I think
they say Roll Tide at Alabama, Chris, not War Eagle.
But I'm saying he yelled at War Eagle at me.
Evan. Oh,
were you Adam Driver or Scarlett Johansson in this scenario?
I'm always Adam Driver. Okay. I'm actually just taking an axe and climbing up a wall in the I'm in the North.
Say so he's more handsome than Adam Driver.
Adam and Driver is much worse. Adam, I'm just me. But like the roster, I think as it exists now, it does sort of have guys that are sort of like you need guys that can play. I think a couple different styles as you need them to. And I don't know how many of the guys. If you had to like put your money on the table right now and say how many of these guys can play multiple styles and survive that kind of basketball that you see in the playoffs. It's like really Mobley, Allen, and Garland. I feel good about that with, and I don't really feel great about anyone else in that context right yet so far. Rubio would have been that guy, and like Sexton, it would have been nice to see Sexton get to try that, but we just don't know.
No, we don't. That's the unfortunate thing.
And that's why I'm like, I've just watched Grant Williams playing in game two, and was like, holy shit, this is like the exact kind of player you want in a playoff series right now, I think.
But Boston's also in a dramatically different situation as well, I think.
Jason
Tatum's a top five player in the East.
Yes, but like that type of player, I think is like it certainly scheme fit matters, all that stuff. I think that kind of player can just help you navigate these series. And like sometimes I just want to like see something, and then if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And that's just like sort of the fun of all of this. All right, we're gonna end there. We're gonna be up back tomorrow doing an NBA draft focus show. So we're gonna go through some. Evan and I are gonna rank different Cavs needs as far as. How we think what they actually matter as far as the draft goes, and sort of rank some of them in real time and make a little list. People love lists, I guess. So we'll do that.
Love
lists. Marissa, thanks so much for coming through.
Thank you so much for having me. Always a pleasure.
Evan, I'm going to give you the honors today. Send us out.
As always, if you're listening to us on audio, please subscribe to us on YouTube. If you're checking us out on YouTube for the first time, please drop us a subscribe. If you are a regular listener or just a new time listener in general, give us a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. And I am Evan. He is Chris. She is Marissa. Find us all on our social channels, and we will see you tomorrow.